Thank you, Brother Nick, Sister Kelsey. It's a great message and song. Well, I hope you have your Bible with you. If you do not, we do have some Bibles under some of the chairs. There may be one close to you. If you don't have one, you can look under and see, because this is going to be a message where I'm going to ask you to turn to several passages of Scripture in the book of Ruth. Tonight will be the final message in the book of Ruth. We have in no way exhausted the content of the book of Ruth. What I've tried to do is to give you three things that I thought would be a help to you. First of all, that you would understand the basic interpretation of the book of Ruth. The basic interpretation. Understand the story as it's given. This really happened. I believe Samuel, probably the author of the book of Ruth. I cannot prove that. That's just what a lot of, when you go back and look at a lot of documentation, it appears that Samuel is the author of the book of Ruth. Again, can't prove that. Don't know that it's really all that important, because I really know who the author is, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. But the human author, I believe to be Samuel. Happened in the times of the judges, which was a time we find where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so it was a time of confusion, a time where there was just a lot of rebellion, and where people were leaving God out. And yet, God reaches down into this society, and he gives us a story of a family, and he gave the story for a basic interpretation, and we talked about that. And then we looked at some of the types or the pictures, and that's for prophetic revelation. And every scripture, listen, you ought to find the prophetic revelation in the scripture. God has written not only for basic interpretation as it really happened, but as only God can do. God can take and he can give you prophecy. He can tell a story about what he intends to do. Naomi is a picture of the remnant of Israel. It just fits. I was reading after a man many years ago, and I like what he said. There'll be a lot of keys and one lock. And how do you know which key to use? The one that fits the lock. And so Ruth fits. It just fits the fact that when Naomi leaves, it's part of her family only comes back. The whole family left, but only Naomi came back, a remnant. And it's a wonderful picture of the remnant of Israel. Ruth, of course, being an outsider, being cursed, someone outside the covenant promise, is a wonderful picture of the church. Boaz, a wonderful picture of the kinsman redeemer. And there's just all types of types in the book of Ruth. And we talked about that some, and even brought some of the lessons from the book of Ruth. Tonight, I'm going to give you the third thing. And I just sat down at my desk this week, and so this is not going to be a fancy outline. I just wrote down some what I consider practical applications. In other words, what's reading and studying the book of Ruth going to do for me? Because at the end of the day, that's what God is after. God's after our heart. He's not after our mind, he's after our heart. So how is the book of Ruth going to change my life? And so I wrote down what I consider some life lessons from the book of Ruth, and I want to give them to you. And so I hope that you'll write these down, or at least consider them as we look into the scripture. When I asked Pastor David to read these scriptures, I thought about this when I sit down at my desk. I thought, you know, what a wonderful way to end a book. You know, a marriage, right? If you look at verse 13, I did not ask Pastor David to read that. Verse 13 says, "And so Boaz took Ruth," or maybe he did, I can't remember. I don't know if he started in 14 or 15. "Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife." I mean, they had them a wedding. Amen. They had them a celebration. And that's a far reach from the way the book began. The book began with not a celebration. It began with tragedy, with famine, and death, and burial. But it ends with celebration, wedding, the birth of a child. And they're just celebrating. And so what I want you to see is, I want to do this tonight, and I just want you to see, because I think that for me, and I really believe it's for all of God's people, I think that God is wanting to teach us some wonderful truths out of the book of Ruth that will apply to our lives. When you look at chapter, and I want you to remember this, okay, chapter 4, you see how it ends? What a happy ending, by the way. Ruth gets to marry this wealthy kinsman redeemer. I mean, here's an outcast that thought she would never be accepted among God's people. But not only is she accepted among God's people and in the land, she gets to marry one of the finest men in the land, if not the finest. She gets to marry him. And then here's Naomi, who left empty or full, came back empty, felt like she was afflicted. And here she is rejoicing. And one of the last pictures we see of her, verse number 16, look at this, of chapter 4. Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom and became nursing to it. Here she is nursing her little grandson. Amen. And she's thinking, you know what, there was a time in my life where I thought I'll never have children. Ruth, this is not going to work out for Ruth. My posterity is done. It's over. And yet God took all of that and brought it right here. That's only God can do. And then he let us know something. And if you don't get anything else, I trust you'll get this. When Ruth was holding that little baby, now I believe, in verse number 16, when Naomi was holding little Obed, I believe Naomi was an elderly lady. For some of the comments that she said, I believe she was past the flower of her age. I believe she was past the childbearing days of her age, and she just thought, you know what, there's nothing that I have to offer. And yet God put this baby in her arms, and all the people, notice what it says here, if you will notice in verse 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi, not to Ruth, but to Naomi. And just how God encouraged Naomi and blessed her for her sticking with the stuff and just being a blessing to Ruth. And I just believe there's some great life lessons, but if there's none other that you don't get, I want you to get this. When she was holding little Obed, I don't know if God let her know or not. God can do this. God can get you into something really big and you don't even know it. I don't know if Naomi knew who she was holding or not. I don't know if Naomi looked at that little Obed and said to him, now Obed, one day your little grandson's going to be a man after God's own heart, and God's going to anoint him to be the greatest king to ever live. You never know what God has in store for you. You just never know. And so don't ever underestimate what God can do in your life. Here's a woman who had all but given up on life, and she's holding this little baby. And the Holy Spirit of God wanted to make sure now that we understood what God was doing for Naomi right here. In verse number 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, and it didn't stop there, and he's the father of David. Amen. Amen. And so I don't know what God has in store for your life. I just know it's something big and it's something good if you'll just allow him to work in your life. I believe that. You say, well, are you some kind of, you don't believe everything that happens in life is good. Well, I'm getting ready to show you it's not. I'm getting ready to show you that you don't go from Elimelech, which means God is my king. Now listen to me now. In chapter 1, let's turn there. Chapter 1, verse number 2 says, there was a man named Elimelech and the name of his wife, Naomi. So you got this family that starts out, and it's God is my king. That's what Elimelech means. As I sit at my desk, I thought about this. And then you have Naomi. It means pleasant or mispleasantness. And I think sometimes we think, well, you know what? When you get saved, everything's just pleasant, and God is my king, and things are great, right? And you think, well, and then there's going to go from chapter 1 to chapter 4. It starts out well, it ends well, and all's well in between. But brethren, I don't mean this to be on a negative, but I want you to listen to me. If I don't learn anything else, here's life lesson number one. Sometimes life is hard. And there's hardships in life. Life is not all mountaintops. Life is not all smooth sailing. Jesus said in John 16, in this life ye shall have tribulation. Man born of a woman. Listen, his days are full of trouble. As the sparks fly upward. You listening? Jesus said it is impossible in Luke 17, but that offenses will come. You're going to have some hardships. You're going to have some hardships. And so I want to encourage you to learn that lesson from the book of Ruth. Naomi had them. As a matter of fact, Naomi had gotten to the place. I want you to notice something here. Naomi had gotten to the place to where when this famine, and look if you would in verse number 1 of chapter 1. Now it came to pass, it says, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And so the family decides to go down, and I want you to highlight this word, to just sojourn. That kind of means camp out. Just pitch a tent, you know. We're just going to stay a few days. It's going to pass over, and everything's going to be all right. Lesson number one that I get out of the book of Ruth is sometimes there's famines in life. There's just famines. There's dry spells. There's hardships. There's trials. So, okay, then what we'll do, and I just believe this, what we'll do is we'll just kind of camp out and let this pass over, and it'll go away, and then we'll lay the baby on our breast and nurse it and live happily ever after. Right, preacher? No. Lesson number two. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Sometimes you think, well, I'm just going to pray, and God's just going to sprinkle some pixie magic dust or something, and things are going to just turn, and everything's going to turn out fine. But that's not what happened here, and it's not what's going to happen in your life sometimes, and it's not what's going to happen in my life sometimes. See, God has purposes. God has purposes. And sometimes we think we know God's purpose, and sometimes God will let us know His purpose. But we don't always know the purposes of God. God has a purpose that is greater than our purpose. And so when we find out here what happened, when you really look into it, the Scripture says that when they left, they went down into Moab in verse number 1 and 2, and they came to the country of Moab in verse number 2, and they continued there. So it did. Not only does it sometimes get worse before it gets better, it lasts longer than you think it's going to. You know, sometimes you think, well, this is just a small thing, it'll pass and it'll be over. And I've heard preachers say, I've said it, you've said it, maybe you've been told this, and this too shall pass. Yeah, but it doesn't pass as fast as I'd like for it to sometimes. Amen. That's right. And that's just the way it is. And sometimes these things are, to us now, they're random. They're without rhyme or reason. We just, listen, I don't know that God went to, I just from this scripture, I take that he didn't, that God went to Elimelech and said, hey, I'm getting ready to send a famine, prepare for it. He wasn't prepared. And so sometimes things blindside us. And it just happens, brethren. You say, well, I'm not happy about that. Well, listen, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean God doesn't have a purpose for you. It doesn't mean God doesn't have a plan. Sometimes through these things, we're taught to trust God. We are to allow suffering in our lives. Amen. I don't ever want to get to this mindset to where, okay, now I'm a Christian and I deserve to live life with no problems. Hey, wait a minute. That's nowhere taught in the Bible. And if we get this mindset, we're going to be sorely disappointed and we're going to miss a lot of God's blessing in our life. Lesson number one. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And there's hardships. Number two, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And it lasts longer than we expected it to. Because not only, if you look in verse number one, I have the word sojourn highlighted. In verse number two, it says, and continued there. Look at the end of verse number four. And they dwelt there about 10 years. I got to tell you now, you know, when you're out of place for about 10 years, that has an impact, that has an effect on you. And during this time, when she's thinking, is this going to get better or when is this going to get better? I want you to notice just a few of the things that happened. Look at verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Look at verse number 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. My goodness. She's thinking, how could it get worse? Probably when they left their homeland, left all their other family and friends, and went down to Moab and to sojourn there. And as they continue there, they're probably thinking, well, you know, surely to goodness, you know, this is not going to last that long. But then her husband dies. And then her sons die. And sometimes that's just the way it is in life. Things happen that we don't expect, that we don't like, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. I want you to notice some wording here. I'm so glad that I have an Everword Bible. I like to study words. I look at every word. I don't always understand it all, But I look at it and I want God to speak to my heart, because I know that every word of God's word has a truth to it that's going to help me. Notice, if you would, the wording in verse 3 and verse 5. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left. I believe that what the Spirit of God is trying to tell us is sometimes you can feel lonely and abandoned. There's just things in life that make you feel that way. And of course, there's always circumstances, and there's the enemy that's wanting to try to get you to doubt God and to doubt His love and to doubt His care for you. What am I to take from this? Well, I want you to notice what the Scripture says. And I could show you many passages, but because of sake of time, I want to look in chapter 4. And this is, again, it's just, I'm glad I have an Every Word Bible, because of the way this is worded. I hope I can find it. I was sitting at my desk and I saw this and I said, man, I sure am glad that God put that there. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee. Amen. Amen. A lot of people will leave you in life, whether through death or turn their back on you. Can I tell you, God will never leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if I didn't get anything else out of the book of Ruth, you say, well, preacher, that's not a whole lot. It is to me. Amen. It is to me. Because sometimes life can be lonely. You can have people all around you and feel alone. But I sure am glad that God never leaves us alone. God never leaves us alone. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. So, lesson number one, life has hardships. Lesson number two, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Lesson number three, God always puts people in the path. I hope that you'll remember that. Who is God going to put in the pathway of my life this week? Who is God going to put me in the pathway of their life? As I look back over my journey, God has put me in the pathway of some really good people. But God has also put some really good people in the pathway of my life that have really, really helped me when I needed help. I want you to consider this. And again, I don't have time to go into all this because I have some life. These are life lessons from the book of Ruth. Think about this with me, okay? I want you to think about, go back to chapter 1 just for a moment. So here's Ruth and her family. They go down into Moab. I don't know Naomi and her family, they go down into Moab. I don't know how they ran across Orpah and Ruth. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm not going to speculate. But somehow the boys bring Ruth and Orpah to the house, and there's relationships established there, and then they die, and you know the story. And Ruth's heading back. She hears that God is blessing His people, and Ruth's heading back. And in verse number 16, we'll start in verse number 15 of chapter 1. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law was gone back, chapter 1, verse 15, unto her people, to her gods, return thee, or thou, after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes, I've read that many times before, and I don't know, just something about when I was looking at it this week. I tell you, Naomi made a real impression on Ruth. Now, I know what Naomi's telling Ruth here. Okay, I understand what's happening here. And I've looked at it from that angle. But I believe there's something else here. You know, sometimes when we think we're at our worst, God is working at His best. And God made an impression on this young woman's heart to the place to where, notice what she said here. She said, entreat me not to leave thee. Please don't make me leave. Amen. I've seen something in your life that I need. I need your God. I need your people. I need you. You ever met someone like that? I need what you have. You're helping me. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Can you remember when someone came into your life and they meant so much to you that you entreated them? You just knew, this person is good for me. Amen. Don't you take them for granted. Ruth didn't. Amen. She said in verse number 16, she said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Don't ask me not to go, Naomi. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people." And I like this. "Thy God shall be my God." See, I believe that's what it was about. I believe that's what it was about. I've just seen something. Even though you were not at your best, I've seen something. Even when you were not at your best, I've seen the God of heaven shining through in your life. I need him. And I need you to keep showing him to me. Amen. And the scripture says that, and I like this, verse 18 has got some powerful language in it. I encourage you to study some of these words. "And when she saw that she was," and here's a good one, "steadfastly minded." Amen. I'm not going away. Amen. You might not let me walk beside you. I'll follow you. Amen. I'm following you back to Bethlehem. That's right. Now that's what steadfastly minded is. And so, lesson number 3, God will put people in the pathway of your life. See, this was not only good for Ruth. Can I tell you, it was good for Naomi. Sometimes when we get weak and we're down and we feel like I need ministry, you know the best thing for us, and God has to do it. We won't do it ourselves. We need somebody to minister to bring us out of that condition. We're looking for someone to minister to us. Naomi was. When you study the rest of chapter 1, Naomi said, "God has forsaken me. I'm at the bottom. I need somebody to minister to me." And God has said, "I've got somebody for you to minister to." Look in chapter 3 in verse number 1. In chapter 3, verse number 1, "Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee that it may be well with thee?'" What a life lesson. Here's a woman that has everything that was sacred to her stripped from her. And she said, "I'm looking out after your well-being, Ruth." Amen? "I'm looking out after you. I'm concerned about how things are going to turn out for you." That's plumb therapeutic right there. Now it is. That's not in us. See, God has to do that for us. When we get hurt, when we get wounded, when we get down, we don't run out looking for people to help. We're running out looking for people to help us. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it's the way we are. But if I'm going to learn a life lesson here, as I sit down and I went through this, I said, there it is right there. And she began to instruct. When you read chapter 3, she began to give specific instructions on how Naomi, or Ruth rather, could position herself to better her life, which would eventually mean for her to become Boaz's wife and perhaps take her away from her, take Ruth away from her. But she wasn't selfish that way. I just want to help her. So lesson number 3, God puts people in the pathway of our lives. Be mindful of that. This week, God's going to put someone in the pathway of your life. You in the pathway of someone's life. And so be careful what you say and how you act. Be aware God may be sending you someone that you think you're going to help, but what it's really going to do is help you. All right? I hope that you'll remember that. There's so much. There's so many other things here, but I want to move on. Life lesson number 4. When we make God's will a priority and we have a giving heart to help others, God will always, now listen to me carefully, God will always supply our need. When we make God a priority and we have a giving heart, I could turn to scripture after scripture here. I want you to notice something that Naomi said, and I zeroed in on this week in verse number 21. Notice the wording here of chapter 1, verse 21. Would you notice the wording here? Chapter 1, verse 21, "I went out full." Notice what she says after this. "I came back home again empty." That's not what she said. She said, "I went out full, but the Lord brought me back." Brethren, I can't tell you how many times I've lived that right there. I went out in the time of my prosperity. And I don't mean I had a lot of stuff, but I thought I could do it without God. I went out because I thought I had a better idea than what God had. I went out, I didn't seek his counsel. I went out full thinking, I've got this. I think that's what Naomi's saying. We went out thinking, well, we'll just do this and this will pass and we'll be okay and just move forward. She said, but you know, the Lord brought me back. Now, I don't think what she's saying is the Lord brought me back. If you look at this, the Lord brought me back home again, empty. I think what she's saying is I went out full and everything now is gone. And though I was still empty, or though I was empty, God still brought me back home. Amen. I'm glad that God doesn't give up on us when we're empty. When we've just squandered away, or we've lost everything that meant something to us, and to other people we're no good, but to God we're always useful. And God says, I'll still take you back. I'm bringing you back. I'm bringing you back. Can I tell you, when you study this book, there's two people, everybody's giving. Everybody's giving. Ruth goes out, and Boaz looks, and he said, hey, who's that? He said, I want you to give to her. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but study it. I'm telling you. Boaz looks, and he says, hey, who is that damsel out there? Oh, well, that's Ruth. And she's just really helping her mother-in-law. Read it. Well, let's just read it together in chapter 2, because it's good stuff, brethren. He says she is really helping her mother-in-law. Chapter 2, notice if you would, and in verse number 5 of chapter 2, then said Boaz unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And they said, well, that's this Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she began to ask us, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, you know, could I glean in the field? And so they begin to talk, and basically what Boaz says, he said, I tell you what I want you to do. He said, I have heard, look at verse number 11. He said, I've heard, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not hereto. He said, you know what? You had so much against you, and here you are helping somebody. I want to do something for you. God orchestrated that. I am 100% sure God orchestrated that. Can I tell you, God orchestrates that in my life and yours too. He does. When you have a given heart and you're concerned now about other people and you're concerned about God's will, that's a priority in your life, God's going to lay it on people's hearts. So God laid it on Boaz's heart to give the root. Guess who God laid on Ruth's heart to give to? Everything that Ruth gave, she gave some of it to Naomi. Read it. Just people giving. The reapers, God said, I want you to give. The reapers, read it. I want you to leave some hands full of purpose. Just leave it. Leave it there. See, God wants giving people. If you'll go through life being a giver and not a taker, God will bless you in a special way. I've learned this, brethren. In my life, I've learned that God has special blessing for those who go through life as givers. God has a special blessing for you. And so that's a good life lesson. Young people, I hope you'll listen to your pastor tonight, especially right here. Always be a giver in life. Always be a giver. Look for ways that you can help and give to others. God will bless you in a special way. Be concerned about what you can do for others and not what they can do for you. Because I will assure you on the authority of this book right here, if you will get concerned about how God wants to use you to give to others, God will see to it that you are given to. It's biblical. It's a biblical truth and principle. Life lesson number 5. People are always watching. You know, when I look at chapter 1, and I'd like for you to look at there in chapter 1, look in verse number 20 of chapter 1, or the latter part of verse number 19, when Naomi did come home, the last part, the people in the town said, is this Naomi? Everybody was watching. I think sometimes we think, well, there's just a couple of people who watch us. You'd be shocked at how many people's watching your life. There's people watching. People were watching Naomi. Boaz was watching Ruth, right? People's watching. As a matter of fact, if you turn to chapter 4, the whole town was watching. They were witnesses. They were at the gate in chapter 4. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 4. The last part of verse number 10 says that, "Ye are witnesses this day," and all the people that were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses." We're watching. We're watching. I know what they were doing. They were witnessing a transaction here, a legal matter at the gate. But when you study the book of Ruth, you will find that that people are watching. Brother, can I tell you that over and over and over and over again in this book, the Bible says people are watching us as Christians. And we are to let our light so shine before what? Others. That they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Why? Because they're watching. Paul said, "Ye are written epistles in our hearts, known and read of all men." People are watching your life. And so with that in mind, you know, do good, right? Do good to people. Be good to people. Be a good testimony for Christ. Be a good testimony for the Lord. People's watching. They're listening. They know where you are on Sunday morning. They know your car's not at home tonight. Amen. There's people watching. If you're going to hand a gospel tract out or witness to somebody, I'm telling you, it's so. You say, "How do you know so much?" Because I watch people. You watch people? Yeah, just like you. Can I tell you something more important than that? God is watching. There is no way you can read the book of Ruth and not come away with this one major truth. It is the prevailing truth in the whole book. God is watching. God is a God of providence. And He is turning the wheels, brethren. I just want to show you a couple of things. I've got a couple more points and then I'll life lessons. But I want to show you this, and I hope you never forget this. There's just times in our lives, it's been in my life, no doubt in your life, that we really wonder, does God know what I'm going through? Is God aware of all that's involved in this? Does God know how I'm hurting? Does God know my family is going through this? Does God care? Is God working? Is God going to get involved in this? God is involved in it. Let me assure you, God is involved in it. God is involved in the affairs of all of the affairs of His children now. There's not anything that we do as a child of God that God is not involved in. So, here's Naomi. Go back to chapter 1. And I'm just going to mention a few of these, okay? In chapter 1, Naomi thinks, "God's forgotten me." You can read that in verse 13. The latter part of verse number 13, she said, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. God's against me." She said it again in verse number 19, or verse number 20, I'm sorry. She said, "Don't call me Naomi, pleasantness. Call me Mara," which is bitterness. And she said, "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." She said, God is, He's just angry at me, and things are not good between me and God. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Right? God's not working. God's forgotten me. God's deserted me. And obviously it looks like God's angry at me. And sometimes we can feel that way. And then when you get to chapter 2, notice if you would, in verse number 1, the Bible says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, and his mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Hopefully there's somebody in your country that'll show me a little grace and a little kindness. Though I'm an outcast and a curse, hopefully there's somebody in your country that'll have mercy on me." And look, if you would, in verse number 3, God is just turning the wheels, brethren. Verse 3 says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz." Of all the fields that she could have gone to, I don't know how many fields were in the area, she ends up in this field. You ever ended up in a field and wondered, how did I get here? And then when you got there, you realize, I know why I'm here. I just know that I know why I'm here. See, God is at work. When you read through here, God is at work time and time again. Again, if you look at verse number 11, Boaz of chapter 2, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been showed me. I don't know how. Listen, I mean, I know news travels fast in small towns, but Boaz, I don't know how long Naomi and Ruth have been back, but Boaz didn't hear everything there was. Notice what he heard about her. I mean, he'd heard everything about her. It's been showed me. Did God enlighten him? No, but God did put some people in the pathway of Ruth's life so that she could share her story to Boaz. Why? Because Boaz is going to be a major player in this situation. You understand? These are life lessons. So the next time you think, and it just goes on and on. Go to chapter 4. All the way through the book, look for the providence of God. Look in chapter 4. So you know the story, right? So in chapter 3, Ruth goes in and she lays at Boaz's feet, which, by the way, is a wonderful place to be. I'll get to that in just a moment. And he throws his skirt over her. And so the scripture says that she says, you know, you're my near kinsman. He said, yeah, I am. And she's probably thinking, hoorah. And she said, but, you know, he said, there is a nearer kinsman than me. And she's thinking, ugh, man. Sometimes life happens that way. You get excited. You think, man, it's going to happen. And then, I don't know. Truth comes to you and says, well, actually, there's something else going on here. And think, ugh. But God says, I've got this. I'm going to take care of this. I don't think Ruth got nervous at all. I think she slept like a baby that night. She got up the next day. God blessed her in a special way, and she went on her way and blessed her mother-in-law again. So he says, I'm going to go and take care of this. Here's another, and I could go on and on and on here. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 3. What a great life lesson. Then she said, this is Naomi to Ruth. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. How often we rush out and get ahead of God and do it our way and just mess everything up. I know I'm not the only one that's done that. I get so angry at myself. I challenged my Sunday school class this morning to stand in the mirror every day next week and look in the mirror and say to God and themselves, God, I need you to go with me today. If the person I'm looking at in the mirror is in charge, I'm going to mess up. I need you to take charge of my life. I yield myself to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to do your will, your way, for your glory. Do it Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and we're going to talk about it next Sunday morning. I'm telling you, if we will live our lives under the constant awareness of God's presence, it'll make a difference how we live. I want to challenge you to do that. You say, I already do that. Well, good. Stand up and testify how God done miracles in your life and led you in the journey of this thing called life because you yielded yourself to His will. Often we get up, we read a couple of token chapters, and we go on to our day. And I'm not belittling anyone or trying to cast guilt on no one. I'm just saying what we need to do is yield purposefully to the leading of God's Holy Spirit, practice His presence, and be aware of His guidance in our lives so that we can walk in the Spirit as we are led of the Spirit. And as we're filled with the Spirit, we will bring honor to the Lord. But if we go out in the energy of our own flesh, I've done it. And yet, I'm so dumb sometimes, I may do it one day next week. I don't intend on it. I just need God to constantly remind me, I cannot do this. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life, and I do not want to do this day without you. In chapter 4, we're talking about God's providence. Boaz said, hey, I've got to find this guy in Bethlehem. He's your next near kinsman. I've got to talk to him before we can do any business here. So he goes down to the gate, and I want you to watch what happens here. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate. Now, the gate was a place where the elders met to do business, kind of like a business meeting, okay? It's kind of like a senate hall or, you know, a house. And the scripture says, and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman whom Boaz spake came by. Amen. Imagine that. I like the way the Holy Spirit worded that. So Boaz goes, he tells Ruth that the night before, and he says, hey, I got to find that next near kinsman. This is Bethlehem. There's a lot of folks out here. But I'm going to go down to the gate and see what I can find out. And he goes, and no more than he gets sit down, the Spirit of God said, behold, in other words, hey, look, there he is. That's providence, brethren. That's God working for you and for me. It's a great life lesson. God's not working against us, brethren. God's working for us. It's the enemy that wants you to think God's working against you. Know that God is working for you. God works all things together for the good to we who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Do you believe that, church? I sure hope you do. It's so. Don't you let the enemy tell you any different. Well, I want to give you one more and then I'll be through, okay? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, there's been times in my life, as no doubt there has many of you, if not most, maybe all of you, I don't know, that I've really thought this trial's never going to end. This hurt in my heart's never going to leave. This sorrow is going to stay with me. I felt like Naomi to an extent, and I don't say I had the troubles that she had. I haven't experienced the death of a child or a spouse. But we have had trials and hardships in life, and we felt like they would never get better or be over, right? And we think, well, you know what, I'll never enjoy life again, or I'll never be able to serve God to a certain capacity again, or I'll never be able to have this or that, whatever your situation in life is. But then when you turn to chapter 4, there's Naomi rejoicing, praising God for the birth of that little baby. Ruth's done married Boaz, and she's just as happy as she can be. Amen. And then they take that little baby. Now listen, you moms especially is going to know what I'm talking about. You dads too. When they take that little baby and lay that little precious bundle of eternity in your arms, I'm telling you, it'll do something for you. Amen. You remember that? Remember when they laid the little one in your arms and you thought, wow, God did this for me. That's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? And Naomi looked at that little baby and all the women were saying, God's done gave Naomi a baby boy. He really gave it to Ruth, but it was for Naomi too, right? And so, Here's just some. There's so many. I had so many more written down, but my time is up tonight. Could I encourage you, not just the book of Ruth, but as you read the Bible, ask yourself some questions. What's in this for me? What does God want me to learn? These are just some of the things that God laid on my heart. As I said, I don't have an alliterated outline. I don't have, you know, I just sit down and wrote down some things. Hey, I believe, and there's so many more. In chapter number 3, we see where his feet is mentioned over and over. Being at the feet of Boaz, who is our Lord Jesus, is a wonderful place to be. Stay humble in life. If there's one thing that God is teaching me, you'll get a far further in life with a humble spirit than you will with pride and arrogancy. God honors humility, but he scorns at pride and arrogancy. And there's just something about us, this old flesh is very proud and arrogant. And so we need to humble ourselves. Finally, I have one just for the men only. So if you'd open your Bibles, men, and look to chapter 3. This one's just for the men. Chapter 3, verse 17. Men. And this is a bonus one. This is one to... You might want to write me a thank you letter or come shake my hand after the service and tell me thank you. And she said, I was reading this, and when I read it, I said, you know, I've got to do better. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. This is Ruth speaking of Boaz. And he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Always remember your mother-in-law. I'm not going to do that. Okay, don't do it. Be sure to report to me how that works out for you. If the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, the way to a woman's is through her mother. There's just a bond there. I know I took that scripture out of context, so don't hold that against me. But I do think it's good to take care of your mother-in-law. I do. I love mine. And I think, men, I just do. I think you'll have a special place in your heart for the lady in particular, and the man, but the lady in particular that groomed your wife to be the lady that she is. Because most, between what God has done in her heart and her mother has put in her heart, has made your wife the woman she is. And so don't ever forget that. Let's stand to our feet. I know this was not all that, but it's just something God laid on my heart. It's just life lessons. I think we need to just get practical sometimes and say, hey, what can I learn? This is the Word of God we're talking about here. This is not some self-help book or some power of positive thinking, mumbo-jumbo. This is not some religious jargon. This is the Word of God. And this book has life lessons that God wants us to learn some things to make applicable in our lives starting right now. What are you going to do this week? Was there at least one thing that came out of that you said, you know what, I could do that. I think I need to start doing that, or I need to start allowing God to do that in my life. Let's bow our heads together.